All right, man, it is so good to be here, and that's going to kind of probably be our theme this morning, just listen to the words, and I want you to get your Bibles out and get ready for the message. If you have a Bible, open up to Ezra chapter 9, look at the scripture there. You're a Bible scholar if you can find the book of Ezra, and so look, you might have to get the book of Index. That's the first book in the Bible, the way I look at it. And you get a page number, move, scoot over there and open it up somewhere. By the time we get to the text, if you don't have your, if you don't have it found, just open up somewhere and look intelligent down at the page, and nobody will know you're dumb with the Bible. Because sometimes I can't find it. It is stashed away back there, and the other one is a hard one to find too. Y'all know what I'm talking about, some of them hard books in the Bible? Let's look in Lamentations. And you got to look hard to find Lamentations. And it'll be a little bit to the right of Ezra. Ezra chapter 9, I appreciate Brother Chris letting us come, and we did have a little hole in our schedule for this morning. Tonight we're going to be in Graham, Texas preaching. This week we were at a family camp. I didn't even know there was such a thing. I know that sounds like a good thing, and I knew the preacher that was going to be preaching there. I said, well, I'd just like to hear some good preaching, and so we went there. Dumb me, I run around barefoot, almost barefoot a lot of times, and I got poison ivy. It broke out all over me. And my face don't have none, and my hands, but everybody, the rest of it, I'm all covered up this morning. So if I act a little funny, I start scratching while I'm preaching. Just never mind, man. You would too if you had poison ivy. So my wife said, this will be the only time I had some on my arm. She said, kids, look at daddy's arm. This will be the only time you ever see your dad wear pink. I said, what'd you say to them? And that's dad's wearing pink, and I had that Calamine real lotion all over me, and they're laughing at me. It ain't funny, man, when to go through this and have your own family laugh at you. And but we're gonna be all right. We're hoping that's all that is, and shouldn't have done it, man. And but look in Ezra chapter 9, and it's good to be here on your anniversary Sunday. We're gonna say some things about it. It says the Lord so leads, and won't you look at these scriptures with me if you would. Ezra chapter 9, and look at verse number 13. Sometimes the Lord has a verse just stashed away over here in the Old Testament. Nobody hardly reads it. I feel sorry for some of these verses because they don't get read, much less preached on. And yet they're loaded. And this one's one of them that's loaded. It'll just jump off the page at you. If you have it, stand with me and let's read it. Ezra chapter 9, and look at verse number 13. And then we're going to turn over to Lamentations to the right a little bit. Lamentations. Now, I hope you enjoy hearing our kids quote them scripture and get up there and do the hand motion. Now, little David, he was just trying to catch on. You know, he's three, but there we got one, 8, 6, 4, and 3. So it's almost every other year. And I think there's a certain point in the year where it does like 2, 4, 6, 8 kind of a deal. And so they're trying to learn them verses. We were up in Brother Hank's church up in Kansas, Lawrence, Kansas, and Andrew was with us. And, you know, you got to watch your kids. It's hard for these kids when they're at church to behave. And so please understand, they're preacher's kids. They're always the worst ones. And then they got to sit there during the service, and they want to wiggle. They want to do stuff. So we'd finished preaching. It was our last night of the meeting. And so we were still had to get the love offering, amen, to make it. And so I told my kids, I said, you have got to behave. Well, Andrew was in trouble that night. And he made it through the service okay, you know, as long as daddy preaches, that's pretty good, you know. But then I said, now, Andrew, you're going to go with us into the pastor's office. And when you go in there, you have got to be nice. You cannot do what you want to do. Do not be normal, son. We want you to act good because I still got to get the love offering. So we got in there, and Brother Chris, he did real well for about 2 minutes. And then he looked over there and saw something on the cabinet on the preacher's office and decided it was his, you know. Ran over there, and we'd already threatened him bad. That ain't no good, you know, but we got to do something. And mom tries to go there and grab him and keep him from breaking it. And so I'm looking like, oh, man, I'm looking out of the corner of my eye, and the preacher's looking at me like, your family has issues. And so she got him, and she whispered. You could hear her whispering what she said. Andrew, I'm gonna get you. You're going to get in bad trouble if you act up again. Daddy's going to get you, too, probably. And so he straightened up real quick and came back over and acted real proper about one more minute. Then he went over and dove for it and got it. And so she takes him and pulls him out. I said, I'm sorry, preacher. I'm sorry. Man, you said to know it's pretty hard to be in our shoes. And so I didn't know if I was going to get the love offering or not. And she took him down the stairs and out. And when I got out to the car, my wife, Andrew, was crying, and my wife was laughing. Now, I'm wondering, why are you laughing? And I'm asking you're not supposed to laugh when you whip your kid. If you give them some of y'all don't understand, but it was just a spanking, man. We never get them too hard, you know. And so it's a little powwow, and she did the pow, and he did the wowing, amen. And so what happened was, I said, why are you laughing? And she said, because of what he said. And she'd been training on Bible verses. And he looked up at her, and she said, Andrew, the Bible says that verse, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You didn't obey your parents, and that's why you're in trouble. And he looked up at her, and his bottom lip was already quivering. He said, Mommy, Bible also say that verse you taught us in Ephesians, be ye kind one to another, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And she still gave a little spanking. But, man, I didn't think to use a verse on my mom when I was growing up. I don't know if it'll work. That's pretty cool. That comes in handy. Them scriptures can help you, brother, in a tough time, amen. And you get into a pitch. Some of y'all, you're not laughing at that. That's funny stuff, man. That just, our little boy David, he's three now, and he is into everything. And Daddy was giving a devotion the other night about the 12 apostles, and John was the one that loved Jesus and faithful to the cross and all that. And I was trying to be real serious. He left and went and told Mom about the devotion I gave. And he said, Mommy, I learned tonight about the 12 opossums. And John the opossum might have been the best one. And she was laughing. It's not a possum, son. That's what you call an apostle. That's sacrilegious, you know. But we're not religious, so it didn't matter. But it was fun, man. You don't ever know what's going to happen with kids. They'll keep you praying, amen. And so we just have a good time, and they'll hit you in the knee, man. And sometimes they hit you right in the heart. And I hope you got those verses. It'll be good for you, the Ephesians 6. But look at Ezra 9. Let's get right in the message. And I'm not going to be long this morning, but I want to give you what the Lord laid on my heart and just some truth here. Ezra chapter 9, verse 13. I love Brother Chris. I love his wife, their family. And just kind of know the Lord has put them here for such a time as this. And it's the perfect time, 29th anniversary. And we're honored to be here. We love where you took care of us, the way we fed us, and the nice hotel room the last two nights, and just kind of recovering from camp and getting going, getting ready, and we want to come back. And you remind him that, get that preacher with that white eyebrow to come back. Now, that's only if I do good today, you know, but let's pray. Let's look at this verse and get into it, and we'll pray then. Ezra 9, verse 13, it says, and after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing that thou, our God, hath punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and hath given us such deliverance as this, should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Wouldst not thou be angry with us till thou hast consumed us, so that there should be no remnant nor escaping? I want you to notice a little portion of a scripture in verse 13. Please look at this. If you have a pen, you might want to underline in a minute. It says here, seeing that thou, our God, hath punished us less than our iniquities deserve. Isn't that the way to put it, brother? Here he is praying, the old-time priest, prophet here, and he's praying, and in his prayer, he's given a scripture he actually learned to quote from reading the book of Job. So this is in the Old Testament more than once, but it is so powerful. Then y'all sang the song this morning in the congregational. And look at this over in Lamentations. I'm trying to give y'all time to find it, some of you guys now. And come on, Book of Index, you ought to have it by now. Lamentations chapter number 3, verse 22. Lamentations 3:22. Let's see if you recognize any of these words. Our songs ought to come from Scripture. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. You see that verse 23? The mercies of God are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Now look at that verse before and note it. It's of the Lord's mercies that were not consumed because his compassions fail not. How many of y'all believe this morning that God has been real good to you? Amen. How many of you say amen, Brother Reed? God has been good to me. Amen. You just don't know how good he's been to me. I want to take these two places this morning and just kind of talk to you, kind of give maybe even a little bit of my testimony, because this would be my testimony of what I'd have to say about the Lord after me serving the Lord almost 30 years. I probably got about a 29th anniversary coming up myself for serving the Lord. And I would say the grass is greener on this side of the fence since I've been serving Jesus Christ. He's been so good to me. And he's punished me less than I deserve. And his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And it's the Lord's mercies that I'm not consumed. These scriptures are loaded, man. And I want to, you know, I hear this thing out there, and we're going to have prayer and let you be seated here in a little bit, okay? But I want you to think about this. I've heard this out in the world, and sometimes I've heard it in the church house. It's crept in the church house. It's a spirit. It's an attitude, Brother Chris, that I don't think lines up with the Bible at all. And it gets people in trouble. And here's the statement I hear make. It's just not fair. I deserve better. You ever hear somebody say that? It's just not fair. This ain't fair. I deserve better. In reaction to that statement and that attitude, I want to preach my message this morning. Here's the title. It's just not fair. I deserve worse. Let's bow our heads and have prayer, okay? Ask God to help us. Father, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, thanking you for your Son, thanking you for giving your only begotten Son to die on that cross. Thank you for his blood that was shed that day. And oh, Father, I pray you wash us under it afresh and anew, and then fill us with the Holy Spirit. I pray your Holy Spirit would speak to the hearts of your people here today, and even that person or those people that are here that are not sure they're saved, they're lost. I pray this will be the day they trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's why this church is in this place, is to reach the lost primarily, but then to help God's people be fired up, get close to you so they can go out and do the same. And oh Lord, I pray you bless your words this morning, manifest your word through preaching. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. It's just not fair. I deserve worse. I'll make a statement, and I want you to get your seatbelt on this one because it's going to be kind of different than what maybe you hear from typical preachers, but y'all have heard some preaching around here. I know that. So you probably can handle it, and you've heard this type of thing before. Maybe not, though, this exact statement. Listen real close. None of us, I'm fixing to step into some deep water here, none of us in this room, I don't know all of you, I don't know all your names. I wish I did. I recognize a lot of you. You've been right in here and stood faithful with the Lord. But none of us, listen real close, on the worst day in our life, on the worst day we ever went through. Now, I'm not trying to make you cry this morning, but I want you to think back about maybe what you would consider the worst week you ever had. I hope it's not this week. You know, you just kind of learn to live one day at a time. Amen. And two ladies were talking, say, man, I just learned how to live one day at a time. I just mastered that, and yet lately several days have attacked me at once. And maybe that's how you are. Maybe I hope this is not the worst week you've ever had. I hope you're not going through something like that. But sometimes it's going to hit you, just life. It's going to hit, it's going to rain on the just and unjust alike. And God's people go through some tough times. And here were God's people back here in the Old Testament. Listen now. None of us on the worst day we ever went through, on the worst week we ever had, ever really got what we really deserve bad to happen to us. None of us, what'd you say, Brother Reed? I'm saying, I want to make sure you get this. None of us, even on the worst spanking we ever got from God, ever got it near as bad as we should have got it for the deeds we've done in the past. The Lord's mercy, it's the Lord's mercies, amen, that we're not consumed. He's compassionate, and he's got a big, big heart, and he loves us, and he's good to us, and we haven't got what we deserve. What you got to watch out after you've been saved a while. Because after you get saved a while, you straighten up, and you start flying right, and you get away from the wrong crowd, and you don't do those habits maybe that are just obviously bad, and you get away from that, and you cleaned up, and you got a King James Bible in your hand, and you're going to church three times a week. Amen? That's what you need to do. You need to be in there for the cycle, not take no chances with that thing. But listen to this. After you get serving the God a while, it seems like that an attitude may creep in that, you know, they probably couldn't do without me. I'm a good Christian. I really am. And you know, I think the Lord looks at me and is kind of, my life is a blessing to him. Look out when you say that. Look out. After a while, you kind of almost could get to thinking you deserve to be saved. No, no, you don't want to go there. The dumbest thing you could ever ask God to do in a prayer is to give you what you deserve. Do not pray that prayer. I beg you, don't pray that prayer. You may be a greasy spot within 24 hours. You may not be here anymore. We do want, kind of want you. We love you. We do want you here, okay? Don't pray for what you deserve. That is not smart. And don't think God's been mistreating you if you happen to go through a bad time or a bad week. And we all have that temptation. We will. But none of us have gotten what we really deserve, even on the roughest days we had. And yet a lot of days hadn't been that bad. A lot of days we just made it right through. And God, you could just see the blessings of God. According to the scripture, if I got, now I'm not going to say anything about you, because I'm just going to tell you my story. I'm sure none of you fit this. But if I got what I deserve, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. Here's my testimony. If Freddie Reed got what he deserved, he wouldn't be up here preaching. I don't even deserve to get to mention Jesus' name, much less preach a sermon about him, much less get to go out and tell people about him. Are you with me? I don't deserve to mention his name. Things that come out of my mouth that should have never come out of anybody's mouth. No, you're not like this, but I'm talking about me, okay? If I got what I deserve, I tell you, I wouldn't go to heaven. There ain't no way. I wouldn't be in a church. I would be in hell if I got what I deserve. You say, what do you mean, Brother Reed? You seem like a nice guy. Your family and the scripture verses and your wife sing. Yeah, but you don't know me. Don't try to rob me of my low self-esteem. Don't try to tell me that I deserve heaven at all. It took me years to get the proper evaluation of myself, and I don't want to lose it. Don't rob me of my negative attitude about myself. Now, I ain't talking about none of you. I'm talking about me right now, okay? And the shoe fits on you. I guess you could wear it, but I'm not trying to even do that. I'm just trying to tell you my testimony. If I got what I deserve, you know where I'd go? Take your Bible and look over in Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Look at this. And you may not, now this ought to help you. Some of you guys still haven't found Ezra, okay? But see if you could get to the last book in the Bible. Turn over to the last page in the Bible. If this ain't on your last page, if this verse, you don't find this verse on the last page, you'll find a verse, it'll be right there next to it. It's on the last page of my Bible. Revelation 21:8, on the last page in the Bible, there's a list of 8 different sins. And if a person commits one of these 8 sins, guess what? They automatically go to hell. Revelation 21:8. Look at this. This is a powerful verse. It just comes right out and says what you deserve. Revelation 21:8. I'm trying to give you time to find it now, guys. You ought to have it by now. Revelation 21:8. Here's the list. You commit one of these, you go to hell. He said the fearful, they'll go to hell. Who is that? That is a coward, somebody that's ashamed of Jesus. You know, there's a lot of people that know they ought to get saved.
Most people know they ought to get saved. They really do. They know the Lord's been dealing with them. They know they ought to get saved, but they're too chicken to do it because they're afraid somebody's going to laugh at them like they've been laughing at other people that they know are Christians. And that's the number one reason why people go to hell. They're scared. They're afraid to step up and do what they know is right. I wouldn't worry about what anybody else said about me. I wouldn't worry about what anybody else says about you. I'd worry about what God's going to say. Here he says the fearful will go to hell. Look at the next one. He says the unbelieving. Who's that? That is an atheist. That's somebody that doesn't believe in God at all. Now, most of you in here, you probably wouldn't even be in here this morning if you didn't believe in God. Listen real close. He says here, this guy that goes around mouthing off saying, ain't no God. I don't believe in God. You know, I don't really believe that they really believe that. I think they're just trying to act bad in front of their friends, trying to act tough. And they know there's a God, but they're trying to act bad in front of their friends. They know they're hoping he don't exist because they know if he does, they're going to be in a heap of trouble for the way they've been living. That's number two on the list, unbelieving. Third one's abominable. What's that? That's a child molester, that kind of thing, among other things. There's several different things that are called abominations in the Bible. They're big, huge sins. I mean, somebody that goes out here and molests a kid, they ought to go to hell. Would you agree with that? I mean, anybody ought to go. I tell you what, I wouldn't want to be a child molester and wind up in prison because they don't like you there, brother. That's like bad. Okay, here's the next one, murderers. Now, I know I checked y'all when y'all walked in. I was looking at your faces. And as far as I could tell, there wasn't any murderers. That y'all, I'm sorry, you still got the face for it. Y'all look like you're above that sin. You probably hadn't done. How many of y'all say, I ain't killed nobody yet? All right, so far. And I used to want to kill my little brother. And then I decided, every day when I was growing up, I wanted to. I thought, no, I'll just torture him every day. It's a lot longer deal. And I get him many, many times that way. But I never murdered him. I mean, he's still alive. Here's the deal. Murders go to hell. That's logical. The Bible's a very logical book. The next one is whoremongers. Now, that's not just, if you know the Bible, and you look that word up, that's not just the woman. That's the man. They both go to hell together. What? Oh, yeah, the Bible calls it some things, and the world calls it something totally different. The Bible calls it whoremonger. It says, whoremongers, adulterers, God will judge. The next one's sorcerers. That's like witchcraft, Satanism, and devil worship stuff. You say, Brother Reed, I don't burn candles and sacrifice cats to the devil. Why are you talking to me? I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about, I found myself in this verse. I'm not going to tell you which sin. But he said the sorcerers will go to hell. That's what God said. He said the idolaters. What's that? That's bowing down to images, idols, statues. About a third of the world is Buddhist right now and Hindu. And the Buddhists believe, I mean, this little fat dude, you rub his bald head and they pray, Buddha, 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 please bless the Fuddha, Fuddha, Fuddha. That ain't right. It's how many of y'all believe, I mean, you think a piece of wood's going to make your food taste better? At this Chinese, I like eating Chinese once in a while, but brother, they got this little dude, he needs to put a shirt on and cover up the ugly, amen? Are we okay here? Y'all have heard stuff worse than this, I'm sure, in this pulpit at times. But here's the deal. It's not Buddha, it's Jesus. And the Bible says he's the only true God. Now, here's the last one on the list. You say, oh, I ain't no Brother Reed. I'm not no murderer. You know, I'm not even really probably talking about me. I ain't never killed nobody. I'm not an atheist. I'm at church this morning. I'm not a sorcerer and worship the devil. I'm not an idolater and worship images and stuff, but God always has a verse for you. And in the world, they never quite get it right, do they, Brother Winkle? They never quite get it right. You know how many they say there is in the world? They say there's seven deadly sins. They got it wrong. They missed it. There's not seven. There's eight. There's eight on this list. You count them up. And God's always, you notice, God's always got one more sin on his list than anybody has on their own, than the world has. Well, God's always got one more sin he tacks on the end. And it's like on this case, he puts P.S. Just in case you think you're good. just in case you ever think you're good enough to get to a perfect place, I'm going to throw one more in for good measure. P.S. Look at it now. And all ours shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is a second death. Ouch. That one hurts. That one about took me down, man. You know what that means? If you read that, that means that liars go the same place murderers go if they got what they deserve. Are you listening to me? Now, I know nobody in here has ever lied. I know you haven't, but I know I have. And every other person I've ever talked to about this verse has come right out and told the truth, said, yeah, I've lied. I've told a bunch of whoppers and doozies. But you're a nice crowd and on the anniversary Sunday. I wouldn't dare accuse you of any, but I'm going to tell you this. I know if I got your speaker this morning, if he got what he deserved, he would not go to heaven. He would be in hell screaming with his back broke right now with no way out. But you know what the Lord did? The Lord reached down and he had mercy. The Lord reached down and he saved me and he cared enough to get the gospel to me and get me that old story, and I turned into a new creature, but I still mess up enough to know that if I got what I deserved, I'd go to hell. I really never met anybody yet could look me in the eye and tell me they didn't lie. They're both one of the Ten Commandments, lying and murder. They're in the same verse. Y'all know the 10, thou shalt not kill, that's your murder one. Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal. Then he says, thou shalt not bear false witness. That means you ain't supposed to say something false. That's lying back where I come from. I was born and raised right here in Texas. We call it lying, saying something false. Huh? So, is anybody in here with me? If you gave your testimony, would you honestly say that you deserve to go to heaven at all? I don't deserve to ever spend one day there, but I'm going, praise God. I don't ever deserve to see the gates, but I'm going inside those gates one of these days, praise the Lord. You know what? When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we'll have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. I'll look back and I'll realize every day I'm there, I didn't deserve to be at this place. If I got what I deserve, I'd be burning in hell. God's so good to us. Everything that happens to you in life now, I know it's going to get rough. You're going to see some rougher days. It's going to get tough in America. We know that. It don't take a rocket science or one eye and a half cents to figure it out. Our country's in trouble. But I'm going to tell you this. Don't ever, ever, ever forget this. God's been good to you, to us. Just the fact that we're saved from hell. Just the fact that we're not going to burn. Just the fact, I mean, I couldn't believe when I heard this. And then I got to reading the Bible. It's all through the Bible in many different places. Old Testament and New. Jesus Christ was the only perfect man that ever lived that deserved to go to heaven. To go back up there. The only human being that ever lived that deserved to go there. And he got the worst treatment in history. Listen to me. The best man that ever lived, according to the Bible, got treated worse than anybody else ever did. He died the worst death in history. And yet he never complained. He never complained. He never complained. Your attitude, somebody said, your attitude determines your altitude, your spiritual altitude. They took him out there that day. They stripped his clothes off of him. 33-year-old grown man. They whip him with something worse than a bull whip. Some say the Romans. It wasn't just the Jews that got him. It was the Romans. The Romans didn't follow any Jewish law about 39 stripes and everything. They didn't care about the Jewish law. Sometimes they say they would whip a victim 100 times in one setting. Sometimes over 200 times. So that many times those soldiers would try to kill him on the scourge rack so they wouldn't have to waste their time taking them all the way to the cross. They tried to shed so much blood that it was almost over when they got there, because they knew when they got them on the cross, they could hang there 2, 3, 4 days and somebody would have to stand guard and watch, make sure they couldn't get off that cross, and they didn't want to have to stand out there 3, 4 days. So they whipped Jesus Christ to within an inch of his life. Blood was pouring out of his body. And then they put a crown of thorns on him and made a king out of him, out of a crown of thorns. And the rod, the scepter they put in his hand, it was called a reed. That's my name in the Bible. They took and beat the thorn down into his head, and blood's now pouring out of his, of the top of his head, dripping down his face, that precious blood, that holy blood. And then they spit on him with their dirty mouths and cussed him and blindfolded him and slapped him and said, "Who hit you?" Some say they hit him with their fist. I don't know, but I know they slapped him. And who hit you? Who smote you? He knew who smote him. But he looked right through the blinds. There's nothing going to stop his eyes from seeing. He sees everything. He was God manifest in the flesh. He never opened his mouth. He went as a lamb to the slaughter. Now understand, folks, this is what I deserved. I'm the one that should have been on that cross. I'm the one that should have suffered and died. I'm the one. And Jesus is doing it for me. He's got my sin on his back. And he's going to go pay for it himself. Listen now. He takes it, and they take his beard, and he said, "They pluck the hairs off my face." Read Isaiah, and you'll see it in more than one place there where he said that his visage was more marred than any man's ever was. There's no picture you ever seen on a movie. There's no picture you ever saw, you know, no real life, something you saw in Vietnam that was worse than what was on that cross when Jesus Christ died. The best man that ever lived on this planet died the worst death in human history, and yet you never hear him complain. And they're not done. They take and put that cross on his back and push him and shove him up that hill, nail him to that cross with nails as big as railroad spikes, and he hangs there. Blood's now dripping down from his arms directly straight off that hole they put in his hand, straight down to the ground, to the dirt, come dripping right down his arms as he's hanging there out of both nails going through both feet, and he's hanging there. And then they take, the last thing they do is they get him right in the heart. That's what they want to do with God. They want to get him. They hate him. They get him right in the heart. They take that spear, that long spear, put it in his side, hit him right in the heart. And the Bible says, forthwith came both blood and water. That means every drop of blood he had was shed now. It all came out. He gave it all. He gave it all. You know who should have, listen now, you know who should have been on the middle cross? It was me. It was your speaker this morning, and yet it was you too. Now I'm preaching at you. It was you. The song goes, I'm not going to try to sing because my voice is bad. You know, I'm losing my voice too a little bit, my voice, but I can't sing. I can't hit pitch, so I'll just try to say the words too, okay? Thank God for blessing there. And the song goes, I was guilty with nothing to say, and they were coming to take me away. But then a voice from heaven was heard that said, let him go and take me instead. That song's about me. That song's about you. And then the song goes, I will crown of thorns and a spear deep in his side. Yet that pain, it should have been mine. Those rusty nails, they were meant for me. Yet Christ took them and let me go free. I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. I should have hung on that cross in disgrace. But Jesus, God's Son, took my place. I like that song. It's a good song, brother. Somebody needs to dust that one off and sing that one again. That's a good one. They say up in Carolina, they say it's a good one. Amen. We need one of them good-earned songs. Amen. And you know what? That's what he did. That's what Jesus Christ did for me. You know what's interesting about heaven? There's never going to be one person that ever walks into heaven, if you ask them for their testimony, and that would dare raise their hand and say this, or give you their personal testimony and say anything like this. If you ask, it's real interesting. Everybody you meet, that here's how you know when you're soul winning, if somebody's saved or lost. Everybody that's saved, if you ask them, where do you deserve to go? If they're going to heaven and they're saved, they'll tell you, it's interesting. They'll tell you, I deserve to go to hell. Are you listening to me? It's real, it's like a paradox. Everybody that's going to heaven, if you check them out, if you ask them, where do you deserve to go? They say, oh, I ought to go to hell. Well, why would they say that about themselves? Because it's true. But it's real funny. Almost everybody that's lost, if you ask them, they'll tell you they deserve to go to heaven. Isn't that strange? Everybody just about that goes to hell because they think they deserve heaven. And everybody that's going to heaven will all have one common denominator. There won't be one person up in heaven that ever gets there that pops their suspenders when they get there and pats themselves on the back and sticks their nose up in the air. I'm glad. I don't like people like that. That'll say, I got here because I was better than so-and-so, because I was good, because I went to church. There won't be a one. You know what they'll all say? They'll all have this one common denominator. They'll point at Jesus Christ and they'll say, see, how'd you get here? I'll tell you how I got here. Jesus Christ got me here. Amen. Jesus Christ died for me, and somebody told me about him, and that day I asked him in my heart, it was the most wonderful thing ever happened to me. Jesus got me here, and you love him, and you're going to be with him forever. Amen. You could trust him. He did that for you. He did that for you. He died for you. He paid the debt for you. When I heard this, I found out that in Scripture, there's several Scriptures. I could show you 20-plus Scriptures in the Old Testament and New Testament. Very clear. Scripture prophesying Jesus Christ or about Jesus Christ that say when he died, he didn't just go straight to heaven. Right. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Everybody has three parts of them, body, soul, and spirit. Yeah. His spirit went to heaven. His body went in that grave, but his soul. In Acts 2, they had 3,000 people got saved. In Acts chapter 2, at the end of Acts chapter 2, saved and baptized. That's unreal. But you know what old Peter preached? In Acts 2:27 and Acts 2:31, look at his message. He's preaching about Jesus' soul going to hell. Peter had inside information. He said, but his soul would not be left in hell. You're not up here saying, Brother Freddie, that Jesus went to hell. I'm saying his soul went to hell, just like Peter said it. He had to pay my debt. That's where I deserve to go. Is that settled? Maybe not you, but me. For my lies, you put all of them together. Just one lie would get you to hell. I've told more than one. And I'm on that list in more than one place. But Jesus paid it for me to pay all my sin debt. He had to just not only die, but he had to go through hell. He loved me enough to pay my debt for me, the whole thing. Ain't that something? Two illustrations and I'm done. One in the Old Testament, one in the New. First criminal in the Bible that had broke God's law, at least renowned criminal, they just got kicked out of the garden, and Adam and Eve had two boys. And they got in trouble for raising Cain. Amen? One of them named Cain, one of them named Abel. One of them was a keeper of the sheep, and one of them was a tiller of the ground. And they came time for them. Mom and Dad, no doubt, had a little family devotion and said, hey, boys, got to tell you something. Your mom ate us out of house and home back there in the Garden of Eden. And I ate it too. And you should have seen it. We were in paradise. We were like in heaven. It's not the same. But, boy, we're thankful. Because God said, in the day you eat of the tree, you'll surely die. And you know what? Eve took the fruit, and yes, I took it too, boys. And I sinned. I broke God's law. And we both thought we were going to die that day. Spiritually, their spirit did die. But the Bible said Adam lived 930 years and he died. So the Lord was merciful. He tempered his justice with mercy. Yet according to the Bible, something had to die. And he said, you know what God did? God, we saw God do this. He took two little lambs. Folks, it had to be a lamb. It always was a lamb. Mm-hmm. He took two of the, we named these animals, and we call them lambs. We call them sheep. And he took the two best sheep we had and killed it, slit the throat. Blood came out all over the ground. We'd never seen that stuff. It's red stuff all over the ground. And then he took the skin, that thing, coats of skin, and Eve was trying to make designer fig leaves and all this stuff, but it didn't work. And the Lord gave her a fur coat. That's what every woman wants, huh? And he said, he covered her and he covered me. And then he said, get on out of the garden. You're not welcome here anymore. And he let us live. Lamentations 3:39 says, wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins. Most of the things we go through that we gripe about are just curses on us that we got just like Adam and Eve got. We got to work by the sweat of our brow. We're going to have pain in childbirth. Thank God I'm not a woman. But we're going to have to toil. We're going to have to sweat. It's going to be tough. It's going to be disease. It's going to be trouble. But we got some things left. We still got a wife or a husband. We can still have kids. That's some of the greatest things you could ever have. And Cain and Abel sinned, and one day it came time for them to make their sacrifice. And Abel took a lamb, just like he heard that God did. And the Bible said God accepted his sacrifice. Abel said, I guess I better work with sheep, because Dad only committed one. I commit bunches of sins. That little 9, 10-year-old boy, 11-year-old, said, I'm going to have to get in the herding business. In the sheep business, I'm going to need a bunch of them. Mom and Dad just need one. I'm going to need a whole slew of them. He takes the best one. Abel makes this fruit stand religion, and you can't get blood out of a turnip. And he makes all this fruit and vegetables and all that, and God doesn't accept it. And you know what he does? He began to frown. He began to complain. One day he calls old Abel over there close to him and said, Abel, one of your sheep got away. No, they didn't. I said, look, they're getting away right now. And about that time, Abel trying to look, and he takes a hoe, hits his brother in the back of the head. I don't know what he killed him with, but he killed his own brother. Then he gets in his white Ford Bronco, and he heads to the border, try to get away from the law, huh? But you know what? God, you run from your parents. You can fool get away with murder with your parents, but you can't with God. The Lord meets him at the border and says, hey, Cain, what are you in such a rush to get away for? And he smarts off. He had an attitude problem. He said, am I my brother's keeper? Where's your brother at? Am I my brother's keeper? Yeah, you happen to be. And he said, Cain, I saw what you did. And if you caught me on a bad day, I'd just go ahead and make a greasy spot out of you right now. But I always have mercy, and I'm going to be kind. I'm going to put a curse on you, son, and you're going to have to bear it the rest of your life. You're going to be a marked man. And Cain leaves that meeting with God, leaves that church service, and you know what he says? He said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Wrong attitude, man. Are you serious? You could be dead. You killed your brother. And you're complaining about having a curse on you. God let you be alive. Hey, we're lucky to be alive in here, aren't we? How many are glad you're alive? Aren't you glad? Don't you know the Lord sees everything that goes on Saturday night all over America? And yet he's seen everything me and you done do since we got saved. We're lucky to be alive. We're lucky to have a nation right now. God's good to us. That's the first story you read about of a full-blown criminal in the Bible. And he's complaining about how tough his punishment was. But let me give you the other illustration. Let me get you read the last criminal in the Old Testament, or the first one in the New Testament. Luke 23:39, there's two thieves on a cross. And one of them looks over at Jesus and says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. But you know what the other one had just said? He says this. He says, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. And he said, he yelled over at this other criminal. He says, hey, man, what you doing over there? They've been partners in crime or something and been in the same jail cell, prison cell. And he looks at Jesus and he says, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. And the other thief goes, hey, you over there, looking across that bloody body of Jesus, shut up. So he didn't say that. Well, that's in the Greek. You have to read the Greek to know that. He said, shut your mouth. We're receiving the due reward for our deeds. But this man had done nothing amiss. He admitted that he deserved everything he was getting. Right attitude. He looked at Jesus and knew he didn't do anything wrong. Smart, I mean, that's discernment, buddy. He still lost. And then he says to Jesus in one last gasp attempt, he says, you're probably not going to listen to me. Because I'm a dirty dog, I deserve to go to hell. I'm about just a few hours away, if not a few minutes away from going there. I'm in a mess. He says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What a prayer. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He's not just thinking Jesus is going to die. He's watching him die. He's thinking Jesus is going to rise again because he thinks that, doesn't the Bible say that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead? He was already believing he was rising because he believed he was going to come back and be the king of the whole world. Isn't that wild? He's dying right next to him. He thinks he's going to be the king of the world. God had shown that. He believes in the death, burial, and resurrection and more. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And you know what Jesus does? He says nothing to this thief over on the left side. You want to get on the right side of Calvary. That's what you want to do. He turns, and in the most difficult hours of his life, he says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And that guy dies and goes to heaven. Maybe the first one that went the same way we go. And this guy over here, he goes to hell. Listen now, listen real close. We're done. Which guy asked Jesus? Now don't be careful. Don't answer out loud. You might miss it. Maybe you'll get it right. It's a trick question. Which guy asked Jesus to save him? And which guy got saved? This guy over here asked Jesus to save him, Brother Chris. If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. He asked Jesus to save him. Did you know, and I'm not trying to be throw off on your soul winning, and I want you to all go. We all need to go all the time. But you know, just because somebody asked the Lord to save them doesn't mean they're saved. You better make sure they understand what they're doing, that they understand the death, burial, and resurrection. What was wrong with this prayer? He said, if thou be the Christ. There's no if to it. Amen. You can't pray in doubt and get saved by faith. Amen. If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. He did not understand the substitutionary death of Christ. Jesus could not save himself and get anyone else saved. He had to die. He couldn't save himself, or we would get saved. The guy went to hell. And he asked Jesus to save him. He asked Jesus to save everybody. This guy didn't even ask Jesus to save him. But he prayed the right prayer. He said, Lord, he didn't say save us. He said, Lord, remember me. I'm a dog. I ain't no good. I deserve hell. I'm getting the due reward for my deeds. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Wow, he goes to heaven. This guy goes to hell. It's not necessarily the exact words you pray. It's your heart attitude that determines your ultimate altitude. You've got to see it. You know what I want to do? I want to get over here by this guy. This is where I'm at. It's just not fair. I deserve worse. That attitude will take you up. The Lord looks at that. He goes, I like that. Do you know what? I'll just leave you with this. If you're a believer, every day ought to be thanksgiving for a Christian. More than anybody else. Every day of your life ought to be, not just in November. I'm talking about in June, brother. I'm talking about today. God's been good to us. We got a lot to be thankful for. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I went a little longer than I normally would go on a Sunday morning. I did. But I wanted to give you those two Bible illustrations. They present very clearly two polar opposites. One criminal way back at the beginning and one at the end of the Old Testament, start of the New Testament. And their testimony, their words are different when they got caught. One of them thinks my punishment's greater than I can bear. He's not thinking straight. The other one's going, I deserve exactly what I'm getting. How many of you in here, as she begins to play softly, how many of you in here would say, Brother Reed, there was a day when I realized that I deserved to go to hell. There was a night, maybe it happened at night, when God revealed to me, the Holy Ghost showed me, I deserved to burn in hell. I should have gone there. I'm not talking about anybody else, Brother Reed. I'm talking about me. I'm with you. I'm with this guy on the right side. I know I deserve to go to hell. I realized it, and I asked Jesus Christ to save me from that place. This is called old-fashioned salvation, folks. It's Bible salvation. I deserved hell. Jesus saved me from it. I realized he was perfect. He took my place, and I asked him to save me. Would you raise your hand if you like that? Put your hands up, my hands back down. All right, most of the hands went up. All right, now listen to me. I appreciate your testimony. You know what you might need to do? Just get up out of your seat right now and come down here and have a little Thanksgiving service that you're saved. You're in on the ground floor right there, brother. I mean, just by that, you're way ahead of probably about 90% of the people in the world, even maybe in America. They don't realize they're lost. They deserve it. If you're here and you say, Brother Reed, I need to get saved. I need to get saved. And I realize today, based on the scripture, that I deserve to go to hell. And I don't want to go there. I wish you would pray for me, because I realize today I don't have to kill somebody to go to hell. Just a little lie will get me there. And I deserve it, and I want you to pray for me. I'm lost. Would you raise your hand if you're like that? Slip your hand up, put it back down. Anyone like that, put your hand up. God bless you, ma'am. Someone else, slip your hand up. Pray for me too. I should have already put my hand up. I'm lost. I know I'm lost. I want you to pray for me. Maybe you're like this. Maybe you say, well, I'm not sure I'm lost, but I'm not 100% sure I'm saved. I'm 90%, I'm 95, I'm 99, but I'm not 100% sure I'm saved. I'm like that. Would you pray for me? I'm not 100% sure I'm saved. Would you raise your hand if you're like that? God bless you, young man. Someone else, slip your hand up as well. Put your hand up. I'm not 100% sure I'm saved, but I want to be. Would you raise your hand on that? All right, God bless you. Now, here's what I want you to do. If you're here and you just raised your hand that you know you're lost or you're not 100% sure you're saved, I want you to look up here at me. If you raised your hand, if you slip your hand up, look up here at the speaker and keep your eyes on me. Someone else, look up here and look up here, okay? If you're serious about that and you're not, you know you're lost or you're not 100% sure you're saved, here's what I'd like for you to do. No one else is looking, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I would like for you right where you're seated to stand up for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus. Stand up and stay standing. Stand up for Jesus. Stand up and stay standing. I'm not 100% sure I'm saved, or you'd say, I'm lost. I know I'm lost. Anybody else like that? Stand up and stay standing. All right, now here's what I want you to do. There's men that will help you stay standing. There's men that will help you up at the front to know you're saved. And there's women that will help you if you're a lady or a girl that can, to know you're saved. What I'd like for you to do is come right out to the nearest aisle, come down here and shake my hand and take this. Let this preacher show you and have somebody show you how you can know for sure you're saved. Come right on. Come right on. God bless. Come right over here. Come right over here. Anybody else? I'm not sure I'm saved or I know I'm lost. Anybody else like that? Get up out of your seat. Come on. Some of you may not have raised your hand either way, any of the ways. The Lord's talking to your heart right now. I tell young people all over America this. If I could take Jesus out of my heart for 5 seconds and put him inside your heart, you'd never want to give him back. But I can't do that for you. Jesus is, you've got to pray that prayer. You've got to make the decision on your own. You have to ask Jesus to save you. If I could put him in everybody's heart, I would do it. But I can't. It's a choice you've got to make. Why don't you say yes to Jesus Christ and make sure? You know why? You can know from the scripture, but almost it's like this. You've got to know from the scripture you're going to hell before you can know from the scripture you're going to heaven. You got to know from the scripture you're lost before you can know from the scriptures you're saved. Is that safe to say? The hardest thing, our job, the hardest thing as soul winners to do is to get, you got to get somebody lost. If you can get them lost, they'll get saved. The hardest thing is to convince them they're lost. They're lost, but they still think they're good. As long as you think you're good, you're not going to make it. The Bible said there's none that doeth good, no, not one. We are not good enough to get to a perfect place. We're going to miss it. We need a Savior. Jesus was the only one that was good enough. And so he didn't have to die for his sins. He didn't have any. He could die for mine. Isn't that something? Everybody else, nobody else could really die for me. Why? They had their own sins to die for, just like Adam and Eve did. Jesus never sinned. That made him qualify as the perfect Savior, perfect substitute. He could die for what I did wrong. Isn't that awesome? The plan of God. I mean, only God could think up something like this to get a sorry dog like me saved. You say, you keep, don't try to rob me of my low self-esteem, man. Don't you try. I finally figured out who I am. And yet I understand my position in Jesus Christ now. I know I deserve hell. You know what gets people when I go out and talk to people? Sometimes you catch them off guard a little bit because they're not used to this. But I won't be long into a conversation. Instead of me saying, the Bible says you're a sinner, I'll show them the scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none good, no, not one. You know what I'll tell them? I know the guy that's talking to you, he's not good. I know I'm a sinner. But the Bible says you are too. That's leading a person to Christ. And instead of saying, you're going to hell, I say, I deserve to go to hell. I've had people stop me and say, no, you're talking to me about Jesus. Sir, you don't deserve to go to hell. You deserve to go to heaven. You don't know me. And you show them that verse and they'll go, oh, Revelation 21:8. I've lied. I deserve hell too. Now you got your winner. They'll trust Christ because they see they need him. Does that make sense? Just simple stuff, but that you almost got to get them lost. You almost got to get them to admit they're going to hell. I believe you do. That dying thief knew it, to get somebody to heaven. Amen, amen. Let's just pray, Christians. You know, you had your day. It was the best day you ever had. Chris told in Sunday school, it's awesome, about how he got saved. In his class, he had his day. I had my day. I was a 12-year-old boy. These people up here could be having their day right now. Best day they ever had. Most wonderful experience. Would you pray for them? Would you pray, Lord, help the soul winner make it clear. Lord, help them to be sincere in their prayer. Don't take a long prayer, but it takes the right attitude. Help them to be sincere. It'll change their life. Jesus paid it all, of that song. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. It's not fair. I look back on my life and I'm like, it's not fair. God's been too good to this one guy. I deserve worse. I'm going to get to heaven saying that. I deserve hell. He's worthy. He deserves it. He deserves heaven. He deserves a worship. He lived in our shoes and never blew it. I blew it the whole way through. And the Lord, just by his grace. Grace is God's goodness. It's called, somebody said, it's undeserved favor God does for you. Undeserved. An undeserved favor. Mercy is God not giving you what you do deserve. Grace is God giving you what you don't deserve. Mercy is God not sending us to hell to burn forever. It's of the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. That's talking about hell. Grace is God giving you a home in heaven you never deserved. We ought to be the most thankful people in the world. God's done two things just immediately as soon as we get saved. He's kept us from the most awful fate in history. And he's taken us to the most beautiful place that ever was. Don't you know if the Lord loves you and he's all powerful? That just think about this. My kids might want to go to Six Flags, or they talk about SeaWorld, and I think about walking all day long, you know? And I don't know if I want to ride on them rides anymore. But, you know, we think about it. Don't you know, they created those people with great brains, I guess, or whatever, wanting to make some money, created that for the fun of children. But don't you know, if God, you're God's child, don't you know he loves you? He has a place that will just knock your eyes out when you get there. You're going to look at it, and the most beautiful thing you've ever seen in America or anywhere around the world, if God made that in 6 days, what would he do in 2,000 years? He's got you a place. It's going to be perfect for you, and all your problems are over. Hang in there a little while. We're getting there. Brother Chris, come in.
Thank you, Brother Reed. I appreciate that. Man, what a morning. It's good. Thank you, Miss Gwen. I appreciate that. I saw something yesterday I never thought I would ever see. We're out knocking doors, and we're witnessing the folks. And this 22-year-old young Hispanic lady named Gabby, and Brother Reed got the winner of the Lord. I was just sitting there listening, trying to be a good silent partner, and just listening, enjoying, just watching, you know, somebody that's seasoned, that loves to win people to Christ, winner to the Lord. And he says, you know John 3:16, don't you? She says, no.
Oh,
yeah. I thought everybody's heard John 3:16.
Right.
Wow. 22 years old.
Never heard it.
Amazing. She has a Catholic mom and a Jehovah's Witness sister. Mm. Well, I'll talk about messed up. Now there's a Baptist in there. Amen.
Amen.
We'll mess them up even more. She got saved. Never heard John 3:16. There's still people
right
around this area right here. Never heard John 3:16. Brother Tony and I ran into a little boy, 9 years old, never heard of Jesus. It's like, wow.
Never heard of Jesus.
Mama, who's Jesus? Oh, my goodness. She rode the bus.
Mm.
She rode the bus when she was a kid. We still have people like that in this area right here. That's why we go out and we tell folks. We have Alan Harth. Alec.
Yeah.
Not Alec Baldwin, but Alec Harth. He wants to rededicate his life to the Lord. And he knows he's saved, and he just wants to make sure that he's doing the right things. And him and I, we discussed it. He knows what to do to make sure that he gets on the right path. Hey, listen, he needs encouragement. Y'all let him know that you appreciate him coming down.
Yes, amen.
Hey, it'd been easy just to sit back there. He says, you know what, I'll do it later. I'll push it off. But no, that's good. I'm proud of you, Alec. That's good. And then we have Kevon Stevenson. He comes and he got saved today, accept Christ as his Savior. Hey, I'm proud of you, buddy. How old are you? How much? 16. Amen, brother. That's good. You know, there'll never be a day where you'll spend a moment in hell. Although we deserve it, we won't go there now. Man, that's good. I'm glad you got saved. That's good. You'll never regret that, buddy. Hey, I'm going to have them stand up here. I want you to come by and just let them know that you appreciate. Hey, he got saved just like everybody else in here got saved. So that's good. I appreciate that. Man, what a deal. Thank you, Brother Reed. I really appreciate it. That's what it's all about right here. Tonight, there's no services or anything going on, appointments or meetings, or we do have services, yes, they're having services, yeah, and 5:15, we'll show up and we'll eat and get our bellies all full, and then we'll come get our spirits all full, and just got to promise you stay awake through the service tonight, all right, amen. And so members bring a main dish and two side dishes, come enjoy the fellowship. We got some good cooks in this place, brother. Man, it's good stuff. So y'all come and just be a part of the fellowship. Listen, part of church is not just worship. It's also fellowship. You got to have that fellowship. And there's nobody else I would rather fellowship with but God's people. Man, it's good. If you would, please stand with me. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Y'all come back this evening, 5:15, and we'll have a good time together, fellowship and worship of the Lord and with each other. Brother McDaniels, would you please dismiss us in a word of prayer? Y'all take time to be friendly. Y'all come back by and let these two young men know that you're proud of the decision that they made for the Lord. Brother Brian.